translation. Of the different processes recommended for disentanglement from material life, the one personally explained and accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be considered all perfect. That process is the performance of duties by which love for the Supreme Lord develops. Purport. Among the linking processes that elevate one from bondage to material contamination, the one recommended by the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be accepted as the best. The process is clearly explained in Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says, Sarva dharman prityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. This process is the best because the Lord assures, Aham tvam sarva papevyo moksha ishyami ma sucha. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction, do not fear. There is no need to be worried, for the Lord himself assures that he will carry for his devotee, that he will care for his devotee, and save him from the reactions of sinful activities. Material bondage is a result of sinful activity. Therefore, since the Lord assures that he will dissipate the results of fruitive material activities, there is no need to be worried. Don't worry. This process of understanding one's position as a spirit soul and then engaging oneself in devotional service is therefore the best. The entire Vedic program is based on this principle, and one can understand it as recommended in the Vedas, Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata guru tasya ite katita hiarta prakashante mahatmana. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. Shvetashvatara Upanishad. One must accept the pure devotee, the representative of God, as one's guru, and then offer him all the respects one would offer the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the secret of success. For one who adopts this method, the perfect process is revealed. In this verse, the words yair anjasa rati indicate that by offering service and surrendering to the spiritual master, one is elevated to devotional service. And by performing devotional service, one gradually becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of this attachment to the Lord, one can understand the Lord. In other words, one can understand what the Lord's position is, what our position is, and what our relationship is. All this can be understood very easily by the simple method of bhakti yoga. As soon as one is situated on the platform of bhakti yoga, the root cause of one's suffering and material bondage is destroyed. This is clearly explained in the next verse, which gives the secret of success. Well, that's the next verse. We're not reading the next verse. That you have to wait till tomorrow to hear what the secret of success is. Tatropaya sahasranam ayam bhagavato rita yarishvare bhagavati yata yair anjasa rati. Of the different processes recommended for disentanglement from material life, the one personally explained and accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, should be considered all perfect. That process is the performance of duties by which love for the Supreme Lord develops. So I think we're in the right place because this is where this practice is going on, right? The chapter is called What Prahlad Learned in the Womb. Imagine, if you will, maybe you don't want to, but imagine some years ago when you were going to school. Maybe you don't want to imagine that. Maybe you're trying to forget that. Anyone here did not go to school? No, we have all been so unfortunate. So imagine that while you're in school, in the classroom, the teacher is teaching whatever they're teaching, geometry, which I'm sure was everyone's favorite subject, or history of England, thrilling topic, whatever it was. And then there's a break, and during the break, the teacher goes out for a smoke break, whatever. And then one of your classmates stands up and says, I have something I want to share with you. Of course, in some classrooms, the mood might be that we would hoot that classmate down. Who do you think you are to tell us something? And one might expect that to have been the mood amongst Prahlad's friends, his classmates, considering that he was and they were all of the same class, namely daityas, demons. And demonic mentality tends to be quite proud, and one would think that having such a proud attitude, they would not be very interested to hear from Prahlad. Fortunately for them, and fortunately for us, they were willing to listen. They were quite eager to listen. As Prahlad told them, how did he begin his advice? Kaumaram acharet pragyo, dharman bhagavataniha, durlavang manushang janma, tat api adruvam artadam. Here we are, little children. He's speaking to small children, and he was himself a small child. And he's saying, here we are, small children, and now is the time to take up Krishna consciousness, spiritual life. No, the children would say, now is the time to play. And Prahlad says, he uses a kind of logic of subtraction. He says, we spend half of our life sleeping. Maybe it was exaggerating a little bit, although for some people maybe it wasn't an exaggeration. When he said, we sleep 12 hours a day, maybe the demons were sleeping 12 hours a day or more. Children sleep. Yeah, that's true. Children sleep half. Maybe they, yeah. So he says, half of our life is gone just in sleeping. Add to that that we're wasting our time as small children playing. That's kind of a waste. Then we grow up. We become teenagers. That's a real waste of time, pursuing what we do as teenagers. At least that was my experience. And then we go into, you know, pursuing economic development, having a family, and so on. How much time is spent in that? And before you know it, old age is upon us. And in old age, one becomes incapacitated to pursue spiritual life, because the mind is not, it hasn't been practiced for focusing. And so in this way, everything is lost. So if you cut off 50%, 12 hours, and then you cut off this period of the childhood period of life, and so on, there's not very much left. Not much time. And therefore, he's advising Komaram Acharat Prajna. Now, Prajna, someone who is wise, will take up spiritual life right away. And after he elaborates on all of these points, in the end, his friends say, "Hey, Prahlad, where did you learn all this stuff? Shanda and Amarka haven't been talking about this. They've been teaching us about politics and diplomacy and economics and all these boring topics, and now you're telling us something we've never heard before. Where did you get this? You haven't been watching television, have you?" No, we wouldn't get it on television. So then he says, "I'll tell you where I got it. I got it from my guru. My guru, Narada Muni." Narada Muni, we haven't seen any Narada Muni around here. He's not allowed to come into the palace. He's excluded. He's forbidden entry. So where did you get all this? And then he tells the story. We all know how Prahlad, in the womb of his mother, is hearing all of this. Now, we may, if we're a little skeptical, think, how did he understand, first of all? He's not even born yet. How is he going to understand Narada Muni speaking, presumably, Sanskrit? Even if he were speaking a vernacular language, how is he understanding? Somehow or other, he's understanding. And not only is he understanding, he's remembering. Which his mother is unfortunately not, because she is distracted. So she's not focused in the same way that Prahlad is able to focus. After all, Prahlad has really nothing else to do. There are no games to play in the womb of the mother. So all he has to do, he has no choice, you might say, to listen. Now, most of us, at the moment of birth, what happens? Despite whatever resolve we might have had in the womb, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his song, "Jeev Jago," Jeev Jago. He says, what's the second line? "Bulia Rohile Tumi." No, the first line of that. He says, "Bajibo Bulia Eche Shong Sharabitare." Bajibo, I will worship. Bajibo in Bengali, I will worship. So he's making a promise. Krishna, get me out of here. If you get me out of here, I will worship you. But Bajibo Boliya, having said that, Shangshara Bitare, then I became immersed, Bitare, in Shangshara as soon as I was born. That's what takes place. That's what happens to all of us. Boliya Rohile Tumi Avidyara Bore, and so I was absorbed in ignorance. Not with Prahlad. Prahlad was able to remember the instructions of Narada Muni. And there's an interesting sort of footnote to all of this, and that is, if you study different religious traditions of the world, especially more tribal traditions, African initiation rites and things like that, almost invariably, there will be, in the course of the ritual, the person or persons being initiated have to spend some time away from the community. And sometimes they are required to go into a condition of some sort of darkness. They may have to go to the forest for some time, or they have to, sometimes within the ritual itself, they'll be covered up as if in the womb. In fact, there's Vedic ritual of that sort as well. The idea being it's a kind of rebirth, right? We say that initiation is a second birth. And so that's the case, not only in the Bhagavatam, but it's the case throughout the world. Prahlad is, in effect, getting initiated as he's taking birth. He has become initiated. And he will remember, of course, and he will continue to not only remember the instructions, but from whom he received these instructions, so that in his prayers, after everything is over, after his father has been dispatched by Nrsingadev, he'll offer prayers to Nrsingadev, one of which is a remembrance of his guru, of Narada Muni, and an expression of his thankfulness, his gratefulness to Narada Muni. So he is coming out of, or through the process of initiation, one is coming out of a state of what is called liminality. To be in a liminal state is to be betwixt and between, to be neither here nor there, to be somewhere dislocated. You are put outside of society. And then, after initiation, you return into society again as a new person, as a reborn person. So that initiation is, in effect, being described in a very unusual sense. And we might say also, Prahlad was in a very, very unusual classroom. He was in the womb of his mother. Strange venue in which to learn. But on the other hand, perhaps an ideal venue, because there's nothing else to do. So he's explaining to his classmates, this is how I learned, and this is what I learned. And he's coming now toward the later part of this chapter to the conclusion of his instructions. And he's basically saying, therefore, let's surrender to the Lord. Tatrupaya sahasranam ayam bhagavatodita. Upaya sahasranam. Upaya is a popular word amongst Buddhists. You'll find a certain amount of vocabulary in our literature, which is also used by Buddhists. Upaya, what does upaya mean? Anyone know? Anyone remember? Upaya means solution? Yes, well, it can mean that. Here Prabhupada translates it as process. It can also mean means. So the means by which you do something. There's upaya and there's upaya. That which is to be accomplished is the upaya, and the upaya is how you get it. So remember, in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, the sages of Naimisharanya are asking, headed by Shonaka, they're asking Sutta Goswami, there are so many processes. Please boil it down for us. Tell us what's the essence. What's the thing to be done? There's so much literature, so much shastra, and we don't have that much time. Well, Parikshit Maharaj, actually the sages had a lot of time, but Maharaj Parikshit had very little time. Give me the essence. So we're getting a kind of echo of that question in the statement of Prahlad. Tatra upaya sahasranam ayam bhagavato dita. This upaya, which is udita, which is given, which is revealed, which is spoken by the Lord. That's the one. You've got 1,000 different choices. What should you do? Well, how about ask the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Which, of course, is what Arjuna does. Arjuna decides that's the best thing to do, and on the battlefield he asks, Krishna, what should I do? He didn't have 1,000 choices. He had a couple of choices. Should I fight? Should I not fight? Krishna told him, you should fight. But then he explained also to him why. Tatropaya sahasranam ayam bhagavatodita. Take that one which is supplied by the Lord, and as a result, dedicating yourself to the Lord, you will become attached to the Lord. Rati yata yair anjasa. When will you become attached to the Lord? Anjasa. Shishi Radha Gokula Ananda Ki Jai. You'll become attached to the Lord very quickly. How quickly, we may be asking. We want it, you know, in numbers, in dates, in years. We don't get any numbers. Quickly can mean in a moment, Prabhupada said, or it can mean sometime. But relatively speaking, if we are eternal spirit souls, then a short time is something we can look forward to. It's something we can anticipate, right? So, Prabhupada sort of gets to the quick of the point in his purport when he quotes the Bhagavad Gita, 1866, Sarva Dharman Parityaja, Mamekhang Sharanang Raja, Ahang Tong Sarva Pap Evyo Mokshai Shami Ma Shucha. The word Sharanam means surrender, and this is a kind of key word for us, isn't it? We hear a lot about that. It's a kind of elusive term. We get some idea from the famous elaboration about Sharanagati. What is Sharanagati? Anukulyasya Sankalpa, Pratikulyasya Varjanam. Okay, we should accept what's favorable, we should reject what's not favorable. But then we may ask, so how do I know what's favorable? How do I know what's not favorable? Well, then we say there's so much Shastra to tell us. There's Guru to tell us. There's Sadhu to tell us, or Sadhus. And still we may be asking ourselves, is this favorable or is this not favorable? We may sometimes not be so sure. That's when we need to make a leap of faith. And that's really what Krishna is asking us to do in this verse, Sarva Dharman Parityaja. Give up your comfort zone, as they would say in the coaching world, I guess. Give up your area where you think you know who you are. Give up your false sense of who you are, and take shelter of me. And this command from Krishna is a constant command. It's not something we do at once and then it's all done. I surrender to Krishna. I did it. I'm home free now. No, it's more of an ongoing process, isn't it? It's something like, dare I say, spiritual Maoism. You know about the former Chairman Mao of the People's Republic of China. He had this philosophy of communism, which was that there should be constant revolution. it's not just once. Marx had the idea there will be one revolution and then everything will be sorted out and then everything's as it should be. And Mao said, no, it's got to be constant. Well, we don't subscribe so much to much of his philosophy, but I think there's something salvageable, you know, taking gold from a garbage dump. So he had this idea of constant revolution. In a sense, that's what Krishna is asking us for, is demanding of us when he says sarva dharma parityaja. Give up all your dharmas. Give up your false designations, which our tendency is are going to be replaced by new designations. We give up one thing. We join the Hare Krishna movement. We become Vaishnava, become initiated. Oh, but then more designations. I have this position or that service, whatever. Actually, I was doing a bit of research on our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition because I was asked to write an encyclopedia article on Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So I thought, I better find out something. So I had to, do a little research in our own Shastra, but also some writings of anthropologists and the like. And one anthropologist wrote an article about how there's a tradition in Bengal of Gaudiya Vaishnavism that husband and wife, they become initiated to become Gaudiya Vaishnava as renunciants. As husband and wife, renunciants, Gaudiya Vaishnava, and the motivation for most people to do this is to raise their caste status, their jati status. They were some sort of outcast, so to say, untouchable, Dalit, whatever. They decide, I'll be better off in life if I'm a Gaudiya Vaishnava. So they get initiated and they become Gaudiya Vaishnava by caste. And so now we have in Bengal today, and perhaps in a wider area, Gaudiya Vaishnavas by caste. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, identified these as apasampradaya, as one of several groups of, you know, not the real thing. But still, that tradition is there. The point I want to make is we all have that tendency. We take one step into, you know, we take a leap of faith, okay, I surrender, and then that may lead us into yet another area of sort of material comfort, and then we try to protect ourselves with that, and then the program of surrender sort of fizzles out, and that can become a very dissatisfying position to be in. So that urge is there, Prahlad is suggesting, and all of our acharyas are urging us, and as Prabhupada is saying in the purport, the guru is calling us to surrender. And that surrender is, the center of surrender is actually faith. Rakshishya titi vishvas, and Bhaktivinoda also says this. Rakshishya ti, it's the verb. He will protect. Rakshishya ti iti vishvasa. Vishvasa means faith. Faith that he will protect. He will protect me. And that's what we are wanting in a sort of existential way. More than anything else, we want protection. We want to be safe. So the assurance of Krishna when he says, Aham tong sarva papebhyo moksha ishami, I will free you from papa, from that which is binding you, from that which is holding you down, Ma Sucha, don't worry. And Prabhupada in his purport is emphasizing this point. Don't worry. Tendency is to worry, isn't it? 24 hours a day program of worrying. Hari worry, hari worry, worry worry, hari hari. And Krishna is giving a reassurance. Don't worry. Prahlad similarly is giving reassurance. Don't worry. And he's giving himself as an example when he was being, attempts were being made on his life by his dear father. He was being protected. We may say, well, that was Prahlad, and I'm no Prahlad. Okay, that's true. We may not be Prahlad, but we have the example of him, and we can take assurance. We can take assurance from him that protection is forthcoming. Off to school. Okay. On that note, perhaps I'll stop there if someone has a question or point of discussion. Yes.